Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Well, God, as always, we come here this day to your house with so much happening in our lives and in the world. We hear the Apostle Paul remind us that our citizenship is not of this world, but our citizenship is of heaven. We pray that you might open our hearts to that call to be your people, your citizens of grace in the world, sharing your love. Open our hearts to your Spirit this day, that we might hear your voice for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of us think about giving up something for Lent. We do so to remind us of Jesus' great sacrifice for all of us, to remind ourselves that sacrifice for others is a core part of what it means to live as a disciple, to follow in the way of Jesus. Some folks may give up red meat, others give up sweets or fast food or television. If you're a teenager, or maybe now even an adult, and want to face a real Lent challenge, and try giving up your cell phone for an entire 40 days. Even that would pale in comparison to the sacrifice of love and grace that Jesus made for us on the cross. Recently, I came across a story from a woman named Nora. She said, upon entering the church on Ash Wednesday, she encountered a friend who she knew had had a particularly tough year, with illnesses and a death in the family and problems holding on to a job. When asked what she was giving up for Lent, this friend responded, "Well, Ann in our group is giving up Netflix. Terry in our group is giving up chocolate. Me, I think I'm just plain giving up." Ever feel like that? Just wanting to give up. In today's Old Testament lesson from Genesis, there stands Abram, who had not yet been given his new name, Abraham, by the Lord. There stands Abram staring up into the sky, trying to count the stars. Abram is the very first person on our children's message board that appeared over there way back in September. A person of God's story, blessed to be a blessing. And even though Abram was indeed blessed to be a blessing, it's not hard to imagine that at this point in his life, he himself may have felt just like giving up. You see, nearly 10 years, a whole decade had passed since Abram first heard the call of the Lord. 10 years since Abram had received the promise that he and his wife Sarai would be blessed with a multitude of descendants and that he would become a great nation for the peoples of the world. 10 long years and there still was no child. And now approaching the age of 85, the only one left to carry on Abram's legacy would be this enslaved foreign servant, Eliezer of Damascus. Abram had been through so much. He had given up everything. At the call of the Lord, he had packed up all his possessions and left his homeland and his family and traveled to a place where he really did not know what it would be, other than he was just promised that it would be there by the Lord. Sure, by this time there were herds and flocks, but truly, what did Abram have to show for it all? Everything he had sacrificed, all the trials and tribulations, had they been worth it? And that voice he had heard calling him out of the blue, was it really the voice of the Lord? Or was it something he had just imagined? After all these years, Abram, why not just give up? And then in today's second lesson, we find writings from the Apostle Paul, nearly 2,000 years after Abram had lived. There sat the Apostle Paul in a jail cell. It would not be hard to imagine that he too, sitting there in that prison, might feel just like giving up. While he was in the prison, disputes and disagreements were threatening to divide his beloved congregation back at Philippi. Enemies of the cross were trying to turn the believers away from the message that God had brought salvation by grace through the gift of love. Afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, all those things Paul described elsewhere in 2 Corinthians that he had had to endure. And now the believers of one of his most beloved congregations were possibly going astray. Sitting there in prison, why not just give up? In today's gospel, the Pharisees advise Jesus, just give up, Jesus. Herod is after you. He has marked you for death. Get out of town quick. Stay away from Jerusalem. Give up on your mission there. But when Jesus hears this warning, he surprises those Pharisees. Jesus dismisses the threat of Herod. Herod is nothing but a fox, Jesus says. And in the historical context of that comment, we might remember that his saying Herod was a fox was not implying that he was sly. When Jesus labeled Herod a fox, he was making a sharp contrast to the animal that Herod liked to use to symbolize himself historically, a lion. It was almost like some of the political banter we've been hearing recently, but in a much more legitimate, serious way. Jesus was saying that if we came to God's reality, Herod was the opposite of a lion. Jesus cut Herod down to size, using the cultural meaning of a fox in his day. He was saying, Herod was a pompous pretender. Shual ben Shual was the word Jesus used. Jesus had his own mission to fulfill in Jerusalem, and the time had already been set by God. And there was nothing, no earthly puppet king like Herod or anyone else was going to do to stop Jesus on his mission. Jesus was not going to give up. So we have stories about Abram, the Apostle Paul, and ultimately Jesus himself. But what about our story? The story of me and you, we 21st century people, of Jesus' story, as our little lint notebooks remind us. What is it that might be discouraging us in our journey of faith and life? What might be challenging us to just want to give up? What is it that brings doubts into our lives? Was it really God that made a promise to us on the day we were baptized? Was it really God who claimed you to be God's child? Was it really God that day who poured the Holy Spirit in your heart? Was it really God who called you to follow His Son, to be a disciple? Was it all real? Is it all worth it? Should we just give up? Maybe go outside one night this week like Abram and look into the heavens and stars. Astronomers tell us that of the sum 1 septillion stars or more of the universe, the nearest we can see, those in our own galaxy, are no closer than 4,000 light years away. You know what that means? When you look in the sky and see the light from the closest star, it left that star 4,000 years ago. About the same time, in history that God appeared to Abram. And yet, for this infinite God, all this is happening simultaneously. The events in the heavens, thousands of years away, the events in our own lives here on this planet. For God, for the infinite God, the timeless God, the past, the future, and the present are all together in one. Abram may have felt like giving up that night long ago, but God had not given up. For Abram, the promise might have seemed like a long time coming. But for God, the promise was already coming true. For God, the promise had begun to become true the moment God made it. It was God. It was the Lord God whom Abram had heard 10 years earlier. And the promise would not go unfulfilled. In that little passage we read at the end of today's lesson from Genesis, we hear this wonderful story. How it was God Himself who passed through the blood of the sacrificial animals that had been cut for the covenant ceremony. Now that is really an odd thing, because in all the ancient covenant ceremonies, it was always the weaker partner in the covenant that was forced to pass through the blood of the animals that had been sacrificed. But what happens next? While Abram sleeps, it is the Lord God Himself, as described in those ancient terms of the smoking fire pot and the flaming torch. It is the Lord God Himself who comes and passes through the blood of the covenant sacrifice. What does Abram do? Genesis 15:6 says, Abram believed in the Lord. It was this very passage that would inspire Luther during the Reformation, and that would inspire the Apostle Paul to cite as a declaration that faith is our goal, our cornerstone in life with God. For this God has not only passed through the blood of those covenant sacrifices, but this God of ours has come to earth in the form of Jesus. And there on the cross, this God has passed through the blood of the greatest sacrifice for you and me and all the world, that we might know hope. The hope of God's promise in our lives. Seal the blood of Christ. Jesus tells the messengers that He will not give up on His mission.
but he will give up in another way. For Jesus will go to Jerusalem, and he will give up himself. He will travel to the city that kills the prophets and stones the messengers of God, and there on the cross he will give up everything in order to fulfill the eternal mission and hope and salvation of God for the world. And it will be in that cross, as he stretches out his arms, that he fulfills his own words and becomes like a mother hen sheltering the flock of God's people under his own protective arms. In British Columbia, there's a farmer named Pike who tells the story of his childhood when his grandfather's hen house burned to the ground. Little Ike arrived at the scene of the fire just in time to help his granddad put out the very last flames. And as he and his granddad sorted through the wreckage, they came to the door of the hen house, and there lay one dead hen with her wings spread out, the top of her feathers singed to the skin, lying there lifeless. So little Ike reached down to pick up the dead hen and carry her away, and as soon as he reached out and picked her up by the wings, her four little chicks ran out of eyes. They had survived because she had spread out her wings and protected them from the flames. She gave up her life in doing so. Is there some fire burning in your life right now? Is there something that has you on the verge of just giving up? Jesus did not use the image of a hen by mistake. For it is Jesus, arms stretched out on the cross, who has gathered us under the shelter of his wings. And under those wings, the mistakes and sins of our past, the worries and concerns of our present, the doubts and fears of the future, are all wrapped in one. Protected by the love of God, this God who passed through the blood of a covenant for us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then shall I be afraid? We read in Psalm 27 today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Give up. Give up. Not a chance. For the Lord is here. Jesus has gathered us under his wings.